Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that by your great grace and mercy you've brought us here tonight. And we thank you, God, that you anoint your word and you bless it to our hearts. God, we just ask that our hearts would be completely open to receive the fine feast that you have for us tonight, God, that it'll minister to everyone here, everyone that'll hear your word as it goes forth. God, we just thank you for the truth and love that you're just growing us up day by day. And Lord, we just pray that we apprehend more faith, more grace, more truth, more love every day. And God, we know that your word does work effectually in them who believe. And Lord, help us just believe you fully tonight and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Tonight, the portion that the Lord has put on my heart for us at this particular time is in Ezekiel. Let's just go back to Ezekiel in chapter 16. And I'm going to read beginning with verse 8 through 14. And actually, verse 14 is the particular verse that the Lord quickened to my heart. And then as he started expounding on, in particular, 8 through 14. So I'm going to read beginning with verse 8 in Ezekiel 16, chapter 16. And this is the Lord God speaking. It says, "Now, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver. Thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God." And what a precious portion. And although there are many precious gems to glean from these verses, and we're going to go through a bunch of them, Lord willing, but there was a theme to me that shined bright from the fabric of the Father's love, and that's the theme of the bride adorned and made perfect. This is all bridal, and we understand this is Ezekiel, and Ezekiel wrote to the nation of Israel mostly. And we're going to see here where he was speaking actually to Jerusalem in this portion. But when we look here in verses about 10 through 13, words like clothed, shod, girded, covered, decked, put upon, those are all actions that the Lord takes toward us and on our behalf. This is his doing, what he clothes us with, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I love this word adorn. When you're thinking about adorning, it has so many bridal overtones to it. It means to put in order, to arrange, to make ready or prepare. And this is my favorite one right here, to embellish with honor and majesty. That's an adorning, and that's completely bridal. And the crowning result of a life that's yielded to God's will is here at the end of 13 and then in verse 14. "Thou wast exceeding beautiful and did prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty." And the reason that that all happened, it was perfect through my comeliness. This is his beauty and splendor and glory, which I put upon thee, said the Lord God. So praise him for everything he provides for us and what he does for our lives. Now, to get a little bit of context for this, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but verses 1 through 7, actually 1 through 14 is full redemption story, from where we all started to the full potential for what we can be in Christ. And if we go back to the beginning of chapter 16 in Ezekiel, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, verse 2, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And it's interesting because he's focusing particularly on Jerusalem. And you think in Revelation, there's the new Jerusalem. It's the bride. So he's got a physical Jerusalem here, but there's one coming that's also Jerusalem that's going to descend down from heaven, having the glory of God. And praise him for that. And even though this is Old Testament, this was written for our admonition. Everything physical has a spiritual reality to it. So just let the Spirit take you in this and just see it in the Spirit. So the thing here in verse 2 is, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. That's a pretty interesting way to start out. Know your abominations. But the thing is, this is where our beginning was in sin and iniquity. We were all born that way, outside. But praise the Lord, upon accepting Jesus, all that, we're fully righteous then in him. And he wants us, God wants us to grow up. The thing in realizing where we started and where we've come to is we realize it's just all a work of grace. That's what it is, all of it. So I think it helps not to dwell in where we were, but to understand the immense proportion that God has on our lives and where he's brought us from to where we are today. So there's a parallel right here as Ezekiel starts out. Then in verse 3, we have a description of Jerusalem's father and mother. This is interesting. It says, the Lord God told Ezekiel to say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. And we're not going to go there, but in Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Amorites and the Hittites were two of seven nations that God cast out and delivered to the Israelites to utterly destroy them. So if God wants something destroyed, it's not a good thing. It's interesting when you look up, these Amorites and Hittites and all those nations represent things in the flesh. They're fleshly desires, fleshly lusts. So these Amorites are ones that self-promote and sow discord among others through gossip. The Hittites cause fear and discouragement. They're occupied with the failures and weaknesses of the flesh. But the antithesis of all that flesh is the reality that we have overcoming in Christ. We are overcomers in Christ. Christ who lives in us. Christ, the hope of glory. We know that if we're humble, God will exalt us in due time. There's no self-exaltation that we need to have. It's just letting him do the work in humility, asking him, pleading with him to finish us and to make us ready. We know that perfect love casts out fear, for fear hath torment. And God doesn't want to torment his people. That's not his agenda at all. Given us a sound mind, not fear, spirit, power, sound mind. Those are the things that he's given us. So those fleshly things, those representative nations, are old creation. And praise God, we overcome that. In verse 4, moving along, it speaks to our natural birth. That's that word nativity there, before salvation. Verse 5, the Lord is speaking of man's treatment of man. And you know, this is, it's hard, but again, man with old creation will cast you out in the field, basically. There's no compassion naturally. And so these are, again, verses before salvation. But when we get to verse 6, this is really sweet. It says, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, that's first Adam blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. That's what the Lord says. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. He says it twice there. Always sufficient witness. And that word live means to revive and to quicken. And that's what Christ does. He's a reviving, quickening spirit. Praise the Lord. And he's the only one that can do that. He revives us from death, not just to life. He wants us to have abundant life. It's everlasting life. His life is incredible, very incredible, and it's by his power, by his might that he does this. And we all who were once dead are revived to life everlasting. Then going on into verse 7, we begin to see the progress from salvation to a mature son of God. This is just starting it. We'll really get going in verse 8. But it says here, I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. And I love this because when you think about it, a bud is the flowers inside it, and you don't see the flower. But there's a promise of it there. And that's the thing with life. That life is in you. But what's it going to become? By yielding to God, ultimately flowering plants bear fruit. That's what they do. That's just in the natural. And how much more so to us spiritually. And so it's noted here, this bud is increasing and waxing great. And I think there's a quantity to that, but there's a quality to it. And I think that quality is bridal quality, definitely. I love it. This word excellent right before ornaments has the same meaning as the word ornament. So you have an ornament of ornaments, which is really sweet. You think about a double portion in that. To come to excellent ornaments is a full coming adorning of the bride of Christ. That's the one right there. So in these first 7 verses, we come from sin and iniquity, unsaved, to saved, starting to grow up. And then in our text, starting in verse 8, these are clearly a description of the adorning of the one that's ravished his heart. You remember in the Song of Solomon, one glance of her eye, and he was just completely gone with her. Didn't take a whole lot, but there was that intense love, and it was just her reciprocating his love. It wasn't hers on her own. It was from him. So in verse 8, now when I passed by thee, and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And there's just an eternity even in that part of it. This is a second passing by. In verse 6, we had, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. And again, that was that first Adam blood. But now, he doesn't see us that way anymore. I passed by and looked upon thee, and behold, thy time was the time of love. And I think how personal thy time, that's speaking to us. That's our time. It's now, actually. It's going to be forever, but it's now. That word love is most often translated beloved in the Hebrew. And it's the word that is in the Song of Solomon whenever it says beloved. That's this word. So it's pretty amazing. That comes from a root word that means to boil. And when you think of something boiling, that's fiery, fervent, passionate love. That's not casual. There's nothing casual about any of this at all. This is the Lord speaking to us through the prophet Ezekiel. Praise God. So, this time of love, when you think about it, this is like signaling the beginning of a courtship, because that's when that love gets really intense. And this is between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. I think it's sweet in verse 8. We have 5 actions are noted in verse 8 after he has passed by at this time of love. And it's so beautiful because basically from here on down through verse 12, it's always, I have done something. This is all the Lord's doing. So in verse 8, I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. And that's a very personal mine. That's his cherished, prized possession. That's all of us. Praise the Lord. So thankful that that's, again, all his doing. Then verse 9. This is wonderful. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee and anointed thee with oil. We know that this, the word is Jesus himself that has cleansed us once for all from all sin. And nobody can ever change that. Don't ever be mistaken that someone can take that away or undo what Christ did for your life. I love it that the washing is noted as thoroughly. That word thoroughly means scoured and rinsed. And I was thinking of that. Scouring a pot or a pan or something isn't a casual little wiping of it. I think of a Brillo pad or something like that is pretty harsh. But it cleans deep. I mean, it gets anything. I mean, you think about even something that's been sitting for a while, even hard stuff. It gets all that. And then, of course, it has to be rinsed. Then you rinse it with clean water. And I think about how, just a parallel to being thoroughly cleansed and washed. And then, this is really sweet. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. Real quick, because there's a parallel here in this washing of water by the words. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. This is husbands and wives. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And that's the thing about love. It's giving. It's when it's bridal love, it's giving. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And that's a very thorough cleansing right there. Nothing lacking, everything in him. And then back to Ezekiel 16:9, the second part of that verse, I anointed thee with oil. And what a blessing. And when you think about it, in order to anoint, there has to be something poured out. I think of the woman who had the spikenard in the alabaster box, and she had to break it and open that and pour it out on the Lord. The oil staying in the, or that spikenard staying in the box, wasn't any good in a sense that way. You think about how Christ poured out his life. We can start there. That was a pouring out of his very life. Then Jesus told his disciples before he left, he said he needed to go because then he was going to pour out the Holy Spirit. There's going to be that pouring out where you could ask for that and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the love of God shed abroad in your heart, everything of Christ made yours. That's how we can see things like this. In Ezekiel, you see bridal truth in here. That's the Holy Spirit that does that for us. So what a pouring out Christ did for us. Then, verse 10, this is wonderful. Verse 10 has four distinct adornings. Start out here, I clothed thee also with broidered work. That word clothe means to put on. In Job 29:14, Job said, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. And I looked that up a little bit. And it was wonderful because if you amplify it and go through the Strong's and look up the words, it basically means I am covered outside with righteousness as a garment and it wholly fills me. Now, clothes in the natural can't do that. We have clothes that we put on and they cover us on the outside, but this is an inner filling. And this is really, really sweet because when you think about it, it says we're not clothed with just anything, but specifically with embroidered work. This means to adorn with various colors, to mark with points, to write upon. You think about how he's etched into us. There's this embroidery, and you know anybody that does needlework, the needle punctures the fabric. It goes to the backside, it comes out the front side, and you stitch by stitch by stitch. So there's a piercing there, in the natural even. But it's that broidered work is so wonderful here in 1 Chronicles 29:2, it's the phrase diverse colors used to describe the variety of precious stones in Solomon's temple. It's the word needlework used to describe the garment of the king's daughter who is all glorious within in Psalms 45:14. And you think about this is one who's mature, who's ready. It's like Esther. She took all the preparation of that servant, the type of the Holy Ghost, and she didn't take anything else. And when she was presented before the king, she was stunning. She was ready. She was already there. And she captivated him completely. Then, the second adorning in verse 10, shod thee with badger's skin. That word shod is a beautiful word. It means to bind or bolt on, to shut up to. Three of the four times that that word is used, it refers to putting on sandals. So when you think about sandals, those go on your feet are your walk. It's pretty easy to get there. So this is really a beautiful thing. Ephesians 6:15, that's the armor of God. Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And what a wonderful thing that because of Jesus, we have the peace of God and we have peace with God. And we wouldn't have either one of those without Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for peace, because we need that peace that passes all understanding. Talking about an abounding of something. The abounding of peace is incredible. It's the same word as enclosed in the Song of Solomon in 4:12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. She shut up to him. That's what that is all about. Now, when you think about the badger skins, badger skins aren't very attractive, actually. They're one of several skins that were used to cover the tabernacle in the wilderness. They also covered the vessels. Whenever the tabernacle was picked up and moved, the vessels were covered too, and they were covered with badger skins. So everything of glory was covered. But it was a protection from the elements. There's a protecting in that. Yet, when you think about the inside of the tabernacle, that's where all the glory was. So this outer body is going to perish someday. And we're seeing some ones where this body's gone, but they're in glory. That inner man is complete in Jesus now. And praise the Lord for that. Paul wrote about this inner adorning, 1 Peter 3:3-4. And this is particular speaking to godly women, but it's for all people. It says, "Who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible." That hidden man is, that's Christ, incorruptible, cannot be corrupted. I love that. "Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." I think so much, or the Lord's been putting on my heart, just how wonderful it is to let the love of God rule and reign. And there is a meek and quiet spirit in that. The Lord is steadfast. He doesn't move. He'll get you to that place where it can be very stormy on the surface, but just go deep. It's quiet in there. And God wants us to just be quiet and rest in his love, because love, his love is quieting. That's what it does. And he wants us to just settle down and listen to his word. So that's that inner adorning, that hidden man of the heart. All right, in verse 10, the third adorning, "I girded thee about with fine linen." To gird something means to wrap it around. It also means to govern. So you've got some ruling and reigning kind of language here. You think about the belt of truth in the armor of God that goes around you. Now, the fine linen is the same, that word, fine linen, that was used to cover our Lord's body in the tomb. That's in Mark 15:46. It's the same fine linen in Revelation 19:8. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." It's the same fine linen that was used in the curtains of the tabernacle, those inner curtains, the ones that were before the Holy of Holies. It was used in the priestly garments. So it's very, very precious, and it's fine linen, very fine. Then the fourth adorning in verse 10, "And I covered thee with silk." I think how this just, it builds even within a verse. That word covered means to plump up or to fill the hollows. What a precious word. It's just the Lord. It's what he does for us. Silk is the material used in this instance to fill those hollows. It only occurs four times in the Word of God. Twice, it's right here in Ezekiel 16. It's also in Proverbs 31:22 and in Revelation 18:12. When you think about silk, it's produced from very fine threads. Sometimes in bed sheets, they'll talk about thread count. And the finer the count, the softer the sheet. That's just the way that works, even in the natural. But silk is a very soft fabric from the touch. It's costly. It's almost a fluid fabric. When you really think about it, it's almost like a flowing type of fabric, which there's a lot of spiritual parallels in that. But you think about the very fine threads that were so costly to the Lord to do what he's doing in our lives right now, the cost of that, that we can be full. And he does allow and create those hollows in our lives. And it's not to be difficult with us, but he wants to fill everything. He'll take some things from your life, perhaps even good things sometimes, sometimes people, sometimes jobs, sometimes things and people. But just ask him, Lord, what do you have for me in this? Because he has something. It's a void that he wants to fill, and let him do it. Then in verse 11, I deck thee also with ornaments, put bracelets upon thy hands, a chain on thy neck. This decked with ornaments, that word decked actually means to adorn, literally. It's the same word used in Isaiah 61:10, as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Very, just bridal right there. And again, these ornaments are an extra embellishment added to a garment. They're like a finishing touch. And don't you think, I was thinking as we were, the Lord and I were kind of going through this, of an actual wedding gown. And that wedding gown has a fabric, but then it has all the beads and all the adornments, all the beautiful, well, embellishments to it, basically. And you think about how in a wedding gown, in the natural, the gown, you usually alter it to fit the person. Not so with a bridal gown. You're altered to fit the gown because it's what it is. It's there, it's done. And the thing is, the Lord's doing that in our lives right now. He's altering us, if we will let him, to fit that. So again, just a lot of parallels in this. The bracelets upon thy hands, that means the bracelets come from a root word meaning to bind or to fasten. And it's his word that fastens him to us. And these are bracelets. The hands in the word of God can denote power, service. They're very useful parts of the body, actually. But unless we're fastened about with his love, these hands will tend to man's sort of works, to the self-righteousness, to things like that. So just let his love be a binding to your hands. Then the chain upon thy neck. That chain is noted as a necklace or a collar. And you think that a necklace is pretty visible. It does encircle your neck, and it's visible. It's right here. It's often of gold, which notes royal adornment. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. This is spiritual wisdom here. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace. I want to be ornamented with grace. Definitely. An ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. So you have all about the head and the neck here. When you think about the neck, it's a place, a tender place of affection. A neck is strong. That's what holds your head up. But it's also tender. You think about the prodigal son. When he returned from afar, his father saw him, had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's such a tender moment. And it just is. That's in Luke 15:20. In Acts 20:37, when Paul was about to leave his disciples, they all wept sore. And they fell upon Paul's neck and kissed him. He was going to depart. They were going to miss him. And they just fell on him because they wanted him to stay, but he had to go. You see all the parallels in this? There's so many. For the sake of time, we won't go into all of them, but the Spirit will take you there, I'm sure. Then, verse 12, we find the Lord God adorning our head. We're coming up to the top here, or the crown of the body. It says, I put a jewel on thy forehead, earrings in thine ears, a beautiful crown upon thy head. That jewel was an adornment in the forehead. And when you think of the mind of Christ, his forehead, it's him, it's his mind. That's an adorning right in your head. That earring was a loop or ring that went through the ear. Always the ear is hearing the word of God. And the word of God will pierce you. It'll pierce you right through. But he does that. Again, that's his work. So let him do it. That crown, a royal diadem placed on the head that indicates a queen. Only a queen wears a crown. And I know we've heard it that the queen does not ever take off her crown in the presence of the king. That would be terribly disrespectful. You know, Paul said, hold fast that crown that you have, that no man take it. So there's a crown given, and we only hold it by grace. There's nothing of us holding it, but the Lord will do that in your life. Then we come to verse 13. And it summarizes all the Lord has done for his beautiful bride. And there's a little bit of building on this. So it says, thus wast thou decked with gold and silver. You've got royalty and redemption right there. Thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. Now here, another detail. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. You have to feed on the depths of the word and on the sound doctrine. That sound doctrine is wholesome food. It's thoroughly nourishing. It'll grow you up. It's the only way you'll grow up. And then, thou wast exceeding beautiful. Not just beautiful, but exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And when you think about that, she's the stall-fed calf that grew up. She just grew up on that sound doctrine. She's clothed upon, fed the most wholesome of food. You know, when the Lord clothes you or feeds you, it's always in abundance, and it's rich, and it's deep, and it's complete, because he doesn't do it any other way. That's just what he does. And we grow up. And I love this exceeding beautiful. Thou didst prosper into a kingdom. Remember when we were in the Song of Solomon, and Solomon's brother wanted Abishag, that Shulamite, for a wife, and went and talked to their mom about that. And the Bathsheba went to Solomon and said, what do you think about your brother having Abishag? And he said, you might as well give him the kingdom, because I don't have a kingdom without her. And then he had his brother killed. So we see how that went. But that's the whole thing, is without a queen, there's not a kingdom. There's not the completion of him without his queen by his side. Then verse 14. And we're almost done. Thanks for your patience, saints. Verse 14. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. That word renown means it's her name. It's her glorious reputation. It's a name and a reputation. How wonderful that the bride complete with Jesus will have his name. A lot of brides take their husband's name. I don't have my maiden name anymore. I'm Lynn Bishop now because my husband's Mark Bishop. I took his name when I got married to him. Let's go to Revelation 2:17. There's a couple of verses here that are really precious with this bridal truth here. 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. There's a new name. Praise the Lord. Then go across the page to Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall no more go out. I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. There's a day coming, and there's a name coming that's his name that we'll share with him. And her reputation, look at this, went forth. It preceded her, in a sense, among the heathen for thy beauty. And that reputation is a testimony for what God can do in a life, what he wants to do in every life. Everybody here, he wants to do that. It was based on the beauty that the Lord God himself put upon her. And it was perfect and entirely complete. So in closing, I remember one time I came across a little saying, and at the time I think was pretty new in the Lord, but I never forgot it. And as I've, by His grace, grown up a bit in Him, it's really precious. It says, you don't love someone because they're beautiful, but they're beautiful because you love them. Love beautifies. That's what it does. His love for you makes you beautiful. Consider where we started out in here. There wasn't anything lovable or lovely about us, but He loved us before He ever set a star in heaven. He did that for us. And the thing is, when we accepted Christ as Savior and started growing up, His love started transforming us, changing us from glory to glory, making us beautiful in Him. God began to build the masterpiece, His workmanship. He put everything within us that we would need to grow up to be the mature sons of God. It's really a very profound thought to think that everything is in you that you need to win Christ as bridegroom, because God did that for you. He also gave us choice. He did that, and that's a precious thing. He doesn't command us to love Him, but may we choose to love Him fully with that, again, fiery, passionate love. The bride of Christ is exceeding beautiful because of the love that her bridegroom lavishes upon her. And she knows that if she yields to the Lord's work, He will make her the most beautiful thing He ever created. Even when you think about going back to creation in Genesis, Eve was the crowning of that creation. She really was. What a type there. This bride will grow up into a kingdom with Him. She'll completely ravish His heart and captivate Him. And the beautiful thing is, she doesn't resist that. And don't let the enemy tempt you to think that you're not worth it or you're not worthy, because that's the enemy. And Lord, help our unbelief. Help us. But she doesn't resist it. She just rests in it. It's a garment of His love, and she just sinks into it. There's just a sinking into that and a beautiful peace in it. She feasts on that fine food that He has for her and just rests. And then her glory, her reputation, her name, that is His name, goes forth for the beauty that He has adorned her with. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand and be dismissed.